Word of God. Now get your hearts and your minds set as we get into the Word of God. I'll have more announcements at the end of the broadcast.
And good afternoon to you. Welcome once again to today's broadcast of Grace Points. I'm your host, Pastor Gerald Simon of Grace Christian Center of Glenmore, Louisiana, and it is an awesome, awesome blessing to be able to share your Monday afternoon with you. I tell you what, it's a good thing to be able to discuss the Word of God from the viewpoint that God has rather than from our viewpoint. Many times we try to interpret what we don't actually have revelation of, if that makes sense to you. Sometimes we try to make an application of the word and call it an interpretation, but really we've just already decided what it ought to mean, and so therefore we go ahead and make it fit what we think it ought to mean. Well, today I want to share with us a little bit. We've been talking for the last month and a half or so with Bishop Simon. He's not with us today, but we've been talking for a while about sin, and I want to share something with us today as we're entering into the Christmas season, the Christmas season, if you will. I really prefer to say it that way. But anyway, as we're entering into this season, there's something I think that sometimes we forget. The whole reason we say that Jesus is the reason for the season, but my question is, what was the reason for Jesus? And the reason for Jesus, the scripture says, for he shall save his people from their sin. He shall save his people from their sin. So he has been sent. He was sent. He came into the earth for the purpose of our salvation, our deliverance, saving us from the effects of sin, from the penalty of sin, and eventually from the presence of sin itself. And so today, I want to just talk a little bit about a passage of scripture. You know, sometimes we get into the genealogies and we just kind of skip over them and you know, pretend like they don't mean anything, that there's no purpose to them. But I want to try and encourage us a little bit today from the genealogy, what the scripture calls the genealogy of Jesus. And I want to take just a few minutes to talk about some things that I believe are very relevant for us to recognize, as all of us have a genealogy, if you will, and there is not a single person among us that does not have some family, some type of family. We have relationships in those, and there's something I think that we need to see as Jesus, as we look at the genealogy of Jesus given in the scripture. There's some things that I believe, some revelation that God wants us to have, even in that, some things that are very, very important to us. It begins in St. Matthew chapter 1, and I want to read verse number 1, and then I want to read verse number 16, and then I want to talk about some things in between. In verse number 1, it says, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then in verse number 16, it says this. It says, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So we have then an interesting situation where we're told this is the generation of Jesus. He's the son of Abraham, son of David, okay, meaning he's in that lineage. And then it goes on to say that all of this talks about the lineage really of Joseph, and Joseph was the husband of Mary, who was actually the mother of Jesus. And then in verse number 18, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. So they say that this is the genealogy of Jesus Christ, okay? The man, the Christ, the anointed one. So we have the anointed one in flesh. And so what we're told then is that we've got this long history of his, this long genealogy of the family line, of the earthly family line. But then we're told at the end that he's actually a child of the Holy Ghost. So we're talking about the bringing together of the flesh and the spirit in the form of Jesus Christ. Now, all of that may sound kind of odd for the moment, but what I want to talk about is something concerning that genealogy of that actually ends at Joseph, because Jesus was not his natural son. But I want to talk a little bit about some things that are happening in that genealogy that I think will be beneficial to us. And so let's take a look at a few verses there, and then I'll go back to verse number 16 and verse number 18 and kind of wrap it up. In verse number 1, it says this is the generation of Jesus. Okay, the generation here does not mean that this is the time period or the time frame, because it's going through 42 generations, if you will. But this word really means the natural creative creative part. And so what he's saying is that this is the lineage that we're going to give to the natural side of him. Now, what I want us to understand from that is that this part represents that which, because Joseph was told to call him Jesus. You call him Jesus because that's what the natural father has the responsibility to do. God is saying to us that he provides for us in the spirit realm, or through the spirit realm, when one receives Christ, when one receives Christ, there's a birthing of the spirit, but there are things that have come down the natural realm in our lives. And so the question is, does our natural past have a major effect on our spirit being? Do the things that we have done, or the lineage that we are a part of, does that really control? Because men will tend to judge you, my friend, according to your lineage. They'll tend to judge you according to your natural self. They'll judge you according to your skin tone. They'll judge you according to which side of the tracks you lived on, or whatever the case may be. They'll judge you according to how much money. They'll judge you according to the natural things. But God is saying to us that what he did was he birthed Christ in the spirit realm and placed him in the flesh, so that the flesh would not have the control over who he was. And that's all I'm trying to tell you. Who you are in Christ is not controlled by who you were in your family. Okay? Who you are in Christ is not controlled by who you were in your family. Now, this is the generation of Jesus. In verse number 5. I don't want to go through the whole lineage thing. You know, Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and so on and so forth. But if you have a Bible, if you look at verse number five with me, I think you'll find something there that's fairly interesting as well. In verse number 5, it says, "And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab, and Boaz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse." Now, I'm about to say a little something here. You know, sometimes we as preachers, we say things that are not incorrect. They're just not complete, if that makes some sense, okay? Sometimes it's not that it's incorrect. It's just incomplete. We don't go all the way through and say all the things that we need to say about it. So I want to try to not be incomplete in what I'm about to say right here. Okay, what we find here is that Rahab that the reference is to is the Rahab who was the harlot of Jericho, who hid the spies and adjoined herself to the children of Israel when they were taking Jericho. She's the one who adjoined herself to them. She was not a Jew by birth. She was not of the nation of Israel by birth. She adjoined herself to them from a profession, if you will, and I'll say this politely because I don't know who all is listening, but her profession was selling herself, okay? That was her profession. That's how she made her living. So she had a very, very ugly history. She had a very sinful history, and she was not a natural Jew. And yet, in the lineage of Jesus, if you will notice this, more often than not in the scriptures, when you're reading genealogies, you see the names of men and not women. There are very few women that are actually listed in genealogies. She is listed. She is the first woman listed in the genealogy of Jesus, and she's from outside, and she had a horrible past. All I'm trying to say to somebody right there is that your past, no matter what you did, this woman sold herself for a living, but her past did not stop her from being a part of the plan of God. her past actually did not hinder her from getting to a position of recognition in the lineage that is listed of Jesus of Jesus according to what we have here. Why is that so? Well, I'll tell you why when I get through with all of them. But what I want to tell you to encourage you right now, because we all have something in our past. We all have come from somewhere. We've been spending about 5 or 6 weeks now telling you that the real deal is that God is not judging sinners right now. He's judging sin. And what he's wanting is people who will repent, and then he judges the sin. He says, you know what? Here's my judgment on the sin. I will separate you from it and it from you. That's my judgment on the sin. God is not out to get you because of what you've done. He's out to receive you because of what you have done and because of what it has done to you. God knows how much it has hurt you to have done many of the things that you've done. God knows the pain, the inner pain that we feel oftentimes because we're disappointed even in ourselves. Amen to that. And so God says, listen, what I need you to do is to trust me. And so here's what happened. Why is it that Rahab was able to end up in this lineage after the life that she had lived? Because she said to those spies, she said, I want your God to be my God. I don't know what your God is doing. I don't know, you know, what kind of relationship y'all have with him, but I know what I'm hearing. I know what's been going on, and all I want is for you to promise me that me and my family will be accepted by your God. And my friend, there is the key. What you have done is paled against what you do when it comes down to receiving Jesus Christ. God is not going to say to you, yep, you know what? You committed that sin for 30 years, and I tried to get you to stop, and you would never stop, so I tell you what, I don't want anything to do with you. No, God's going to say, welcome home. You're a part of the family. That was Rahab. The next one that we see in the same verse, it says that Boaz begot Obed of Ruth. He begot Obed of Ruth. Okay, here we go. Like I said, I don't want to be incomplete right here. Okay, Ruth was a Moabite, or a Moabitess, if you will. She was, again, not a natural Jew. She was not a natural-born member of the Jewish family. She was a woman of Moab. She was a woman of Moab. How in the world, then, does she end up in this lineage? Well, she ends up in this lineage because she said to her mother-in-law, who Ruth's husband had died, Naomi, her mother-in-law, had lost her husband. And so Naomi says, I'm going back to my kinfolk. I want to tell you, you go back to your kinfolk back over in Moab, and we'll just part ways happy and everybody be okay. And here's what Ruth said. Ruth said, that's not the way this is going to be, because I'm going to go where you go. I'm going to do what you do. And watch this, and your God shall be my God. Now, I want to hit on a little something here that you know, I probably don't need to go there, but I'm going there anyway, and it's probably going to upset a few people, and okay, what's new for me, right? But here's the deal. She was not a natural-born Jew. She was a woman who was not of the proper lineage. So in essence, then, when she is married, these are she and Rahab actually represent people coming from outside, if you will, into the family. You know, they don't look like us. They're not one of us, you know. Some would say, oh, interracial marriage. Oh, could have been. All right. But here's my thing. For those who make statements like, well, you know, that's not of God. The reason why God said that. But the reason why there was a restriction on that was basically twofold. He said to members of certain tribes, he said, make sure that you stay within your tribe when you marry so that the inheritance stays within the tribe. That's scripture. So that the inheritance is not messed up. So the inheritance stays within the tribe. So he says, make sure that you get one when you marry, make sure you get somebody in your tribe. The other reason for not marrying strangers was because of the gods, not because of the people, but because of the gods. In actuality, he said, I don't want you mingling with those people. I don't want you marrying those people who are going to lead you unto strange gods. Now, that's it. That's it. There was no reason that, okay, you can't do this because they're this, you know what I mean. As a matter of fact, the New Testament version of this simply says this. It says, be not unequally yoked. And it goes right on to tell you what it is with unbelievers. Believers, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What concord does light have with darkness? He's making it plain and simple that this is about the walk with God. So in actuality, some folk, and I know I'm getting way off here, but I feel the need to say it. But some folk have a greater prejudice against skin tone than they have against sin. You know, I mean, really, you know, well, you can marry whoever as long as they are not. Well, let me leave that alone. But the bottom line is, that did not affect her from being in the lineage of Jesus. Why? Because she said, your God shall be my God. The key was her surrender to God. Now, what I'm trying to tell you, why am I saying all of that? What was the purpose of all of that? Well, simply it's this. No matter where you come from, no matter what your situation has been, the key to your future is what are you going to do about your relationship with God? We're talking about the lineage of Jesus. And so God is saying, look, you can still be a part of the lineage if you receive the Savior, if you receive the God of the Savior. If that's the key. It's not that you came from the wrong side of the track. It's not that your skin is the wrong color. It's not that your pocketbook is not heavy enough. It is, what about your surrender to God? Therein is the answer. Therein is the answer. Okay, so continuing in that same passage, before I run out of time, in verse number 6, we're told that David begat Solomon, okay, and it said he begat Solomon of she who was Uriah's wife. Okay, again, now this now represents the third woman in this lineage of Jesus, and she's not named, but we're told that she was married to another man when she and David hooked up. Okay, and I'm not going to go through the whole story of what all went on there, but notice that David is included, and David had a very horrible sin in his past. But the key was, here's what David did. In Psalm 51, when David was confronted about his sin, we're told in Psalm 51, basically that's a psalm of repentance. It's a psalm of repentance. He was confronted about what he had done. He acknowledged it. And then he repented before God because of it. And in the process of that repentance, his name ends up in this genealogy. And God says some wonderful things to him. God promises him that he'll always have his line, his lineage would always serve in the kingdom. He is promised that you know, it's spoken of him as being a man after God's own heart. There are wonderful things spoken of David, though David had a really, really serious past. David had issues when he was a child of being mistreated, if you will, or being considered less than because he was the younger. Remember when Samuel came to anoint for a king to Jesse's house. He came to anoint for a king, and they brought in all the boys except David. And then after none of them were the ones, Samuel said, there's got to be another boy somewhere. And so they said, well, yeah, the lad out there keeping the sheep. Well, imagine if you're David and you're out there keeping the sheep, because they've already decided you can't be the king. My friend, that may be your situation. You may have been told all of your life what you can't be, what you can't do, what you'll never amount to. And then you turn right around and start committing sin that says, you know what, maybe they're right. Maybe that's all I ever be. Let me encourage you with something right now. Your future, glorified, is but one repentance prayer away. It is but one sincere repentance away. If you're tired of feeling like the person that everybody says that you are, if you're tired of trying to act like it because you don't believe you can do any better or be any better, if you're tired of feeling like you don't fit in the family because you're just not like everybody else in the family, if you're tired of feeling like your sin is just bringing shame and shame and shame upon the family, and so I just don't know what to do because I'm the quote-unquote black sheep of the family, if you're tired of that and you are ready for change, if you're ready for restored hope, if you're ready for empowered vision, it is but one repentance away. David is in this list. After having suffered the stuff he suffered, after having done the things he did, he's in that list. Rahab is in that list. After having lived the life that she lived and having to marry into the family, if you will, she's in the list. Ruth is in the list. Even after she had to suffer through the death of one husband and make a commitment to stick with that mother-in-law, basically to say, you know what, I'll stay single as long as I have to. But she's in the list because she chose to follow God. My friend, if you want your name listed in the lineage, it is one repentance away. In verse number 11, same passage, St. Matthew chapter 1, verse number 11. The verse basically tells us just a list of lineage, right? That's all it is. And Josiah begat Jeconiah and his brethren about the time they were carried away to Babylon. Josiah begat Jeconiah about the time they were carried away into Babylon. About the time they were carried away. The word Babylon means comes from the word Babel, which means confusion. So just about the time they were going into confusion, Jeconias is born. Well, guess what Jeconias' name means? It means God will establish. In essence, it means here's your promise. You're about to enter into a state of confusion. You're about to enter into a captivity, into a lifestyle that you don't want to be in, but I'm going to give you a promise as you go into it, as it enters. Here's the promise. I will establish you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. I will not turn you loose. All I'm trying to tell you, my friend, is that one of the things that Jesus is trying to tell us about his genealogy, by his generation, what he's trying to tell us is that you may be in a ball of confusion. You know, every now and then I kind of joke and say, I live in two states. One is Louisiana and the other one is confusion. We have to realize that God's word is still the word. And it we may be entering into, you know, you may be entering into a season where you don't understand what's going on with you. It's a new season for you. It's a new, it's a new feeling. There's an experience that you cannot explain. And in the process of it, there's, you may feel like you're losing your peace. You may feel like your mind is in all in a turmoil, but there is a promise from God's word that he will not leave you nor forsake you. There is a promise from God's word that no matter how deep in confusion you get, it does not stop you from being in the lineage of Jesus. So he says, watch this. Jeconias is born because he is the promise. Okay. They were in that confusion, by the way. They ended up in Babylon because of their disobedience. So sometimes we create the circumstances of our own confusion, but it does not cause God to deviate from his plan for us. You know, I don't know about you, but I've done a few things in my life that have led me to some confused states. I don't, I'm listening for amens out there. I've done a few things where I made decisions that I made. Can I confess on me for a minute? And so the confusion that followed that is, you know, it's scary because you're getting there and you're going, okay, God, well, what do I do? But here's the thing you have to understand. Your self-induced confusion does not cause God to deviate from his plan. He knows what he's doing. He knows what he wants to do. He knows how he's doing it. So God's plan did not change. He did not deviate from his plan. How do we know that? Well, continuing then in verse number 12, it says, and after they were brought to Babylon, after they were actually in confusion, Jeconiah begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel. Now, here's what I'm going to say about that real quick. Jeconiah, the promise, begets Salathiel. Salathiel means asked of God. So in your confusion, go ahead and ask him. Because you've been given a promise that you can ask even in the midst of your confusion. And watch this. And then the asked of God, then, which is Salathiel, now births Zerubbabel, which means born in confusion. There is a blessing, my friend. There is a blessing that God has prepared for you even in the confusion. Even in the trial, even in the tribulation, there is a blessing that God has prepared for you in it. Ask him. Ask him. You have the promise. Ask him in the middle of it, and he will provide the solution. He will provide the blessing even in the middle of the confusion because he's that kind of God. Because God's plan is not deviated by your error. I'm going to say that again. His plan is not, God does not decide, you know what? Well, you made this mistake, so I can't do anything for you anymore. No. You see, the key to a walk with God is an active, repentant prayer life. That's the key. An active, repentant prayer life. Let me finish this because I am about out of time. So here's the last thing I need to get to because, my goodness, the clock has really run out on me. In verses 16 and 18, which I read at the beginning, let me just say this real quick. In those verses, we're told that Joseph is the husband of Mary. So the last woman that's listed in this lineage, now it turns out that the rest of the other lineage was really about Joseph and not about her. And then we find out that Jesus is the child of the Holy Ghost, which means that it is the Holy Spirit who actually has made all of this happen. Now, here's the bottom line of everything that I've said, and I'm going to get out of here. It's simply this. God knows that whatever our past has been, whatever our lineage, if you will, is, whatever issues we've had to deal with, whether we've been in confusion or not, here's what he knows. He knows that his gift to us is dependent upon his Spirit, not ours. And so Jesus was the child of the Holy Ghost given unto man. He was not the child of the sinful man to control the Spirit. All I'm trying to say is, my friend, your victory is in trusting in God.